I would like you to turn with me to four passages of Scripture. Firstly, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And forasmuch as it is the portion of men once to die, and after this judgment, thus the Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear to those that look for him the second time, without sin, for salvation. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, first chapter of Mark's Gospel, and verse 1, beginning of the glad tidings of Jesus Christ, Son of God. And in the same Gospel, chapter 15, Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there came darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of those who stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calls for Elias. And one, running and filling a sponge with vinegar, fixed it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see if Elias comes to take him down. Jesus, having a loud cry, expired. And the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And the centurion who stood by over against him, when he saw that he'd expired, having thus cried out, said, Truly, this man was Son of God. And finally, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9 and verses 18 to 21. And straightway there fell from his eyes, this is Saul of Tarsus, as it were scales, and he saw, rising up, was baptized, having received food, got strength, and he was with the disciples, who were in Damascus certain days. And straightway, in the synagogues, he preached Jesus, that he is the Son of God. And all who heard were astonished, and said, Is not this he who destroyed in Jerusalem those who called on this name? And here was come for this purpose, that he might bring them bound to the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in power, and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this was the Christ. I want to speak to you simply about the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. And it is indeed glad tidings. Glad tidings, as we know, means good news. But before I do this, I would like to refer you to Hebrews 9, because the question arises, first of all, about our state or suitability to be before God. The Apostle Paul tells us in writing to the Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're living in a world where sin is rampant. Countries of the world, particularly the country in which I live, has to a large extent given up God, and all sorts of things have come in, but sin is abounding. But I want to speak to you about the danger that you are in if you are away from God and still in your sins. The writer to the Hebrews is reminding his hearers that it is the portion of men once to die. We only have one life, and we only die once. But you know, it's very important. It's totally important that while you're alive, that you realize that you're a sinner, need a saviour, and turn to Christ. Because when you die, it will be too late. If you die in your sins, you will be raised in your sins, and you will have to face God as a judge in relation to your sins. It's a solemn matter, but it's a very important one, and it's for you and for me to face up to our sinnership, to the fact that we are sinners, and therefore are unsuitable for the presence of God. God with whom we have to do is a holy God and righteous, and he cannot tolerate sin in his presence, neither can he pass it by. God will bring all who sin into judgment. Forasmuch as it is the portion of men once to die, and after this judgment, God will one day call you into question in relation to your sins. Now, the wonderful thing is that God has provided a remedy for sin. But I want to bring it home to you, if I can, and it is God alone who can really do this, that you are a sinner and stand in need urgently of a Saviour. The question of sin came into this creation very early. Adam was created by God to be here for God's pleasure, for the will and pleasure of God. He was given a job to do. He was given a garden, a beautiful garden planted by God, and a job to do. He was to tend and guard it. And what happened? Very quickly, I believe, sin came in. He disobeyed the one commandment of God, the one thing that God said he wasn't to do. He did. God gave him every tree to eat of the fruit of it. He gave him a wonderful place to live in. He provided him with a helpmate, with Eve, with a wife. But in spite of all this, man chose to disobey God. He ate of the one tree that God said he shouldn't eat of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in disobeying God, sin came in. The first thing you find is Adam hid himself. He couldn't bear the presence of God. God came down in the evening into this wonderful garden he planted to enjoy communion with his creature. And there were Adam and Eve hiding themselves away from God. And that is the first thing that you do when you sin. If you disobey your parents and do something wrong, you want to get as far away from the scene of the crime as you can. And this is human nature the world over. Now, here we are in a hopeless, lost condition. Death has come in as a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, life eternal. So sin has come in. For as much as it is the portion of men once to die, man dies. We all will have to die if the Lord doesn't come for us. We will all have to die. And that is as a result, a governmental result on sin coming into this world. But God has a wonderful remedy for sin. And that brings me on to the question of the glad tidings of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Mark begins his gospel with this outstanding sentence, beginning of the glad tidings of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Here we have a scene of sin, a scene of disobedience, a scene of sorrow, of illness, of wickedness, and so on. Then the world is very little different today than it was when Mark wrote his gospel. And it's the glad tidings, the good news of Jesus Christ. There's been a lot of bad news in this world in recent years. We've had and are experiencing a pandemic, and it's not good news. I cannot overemphasize emphasized the seriousness of this pandemic, and many hundreds of thousands have died and are dying of it. Now, what about you? If you pass into eternity with the matter of your sins not dealt with, not resolved in the sight of God, you will be raised in your sins, and you will be found standing before the great white throne and judged according to them. God will do this. Make no mistake. What God says he'll do, he will do. But we have here the beginning of the glad tidings, the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. The wonderful news is that God has so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that the world might be saved by him. Isn't it just wonderful that you and I have an offer of free salvation? What good news this is, that Jesus Christ, Son of God, that's who he was. The four Gospels are written about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. He came here into this very world he created and drew near to man. He came into manhood's form. He was always sin apart, God manifest in flesh. How wonderful that is, that God has drawn near to man in this wonderful, unique and glorious way. The Lord Jesus came here as a man, a perfect, holy man, sin apart. And you will find, as you read the four Gospels, an account of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. How he always did good. He healed all who were sick, cast out demons, raised the dead. There are endless matters that the Lord Jesus took up. But, you know, he came to his own, as John records in his gospel, and his own received him not. His own were Israel. There was a part of Israel, the Jews, in the land of Israel when the Lord Jesus came. And they, in principle, rejected him. But not all. As many as received him, to him gave he the right to be called children of God. So there were those on earth who did receive Christ when he came. But we preach this good news that God has taken account of the sinful state of man, and he's taken an account in such a glorious way in sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Son of God. It's important to see that not only is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, but he's also the Son of God, came here in manhood's form, sin apart, ever doing the will of God, and his holy life was laid down in death. We read in Mark 15 of one of the accounts of his crucifixion. The Lord Jesus was rejected by his own, and he was put to death by his own people with the Roman occupiers of the day giving their assent. This was how my Saviour died. He was nailed to a cross. He who knew not sin was made sin. Not only was he rejected of men, was he crucified by men, but he was also forsaken of his God and Father. And I read to you in Mark 15 from verse 33. When the sixth hour was come, there came darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Now I believe that in those 3 hours of darkness, the Lord Jesus resolved once and for all the great sin question. He suffered and he died, not on account of his own sins, for he had none, but he was made sin on my account, and I trust on yours too. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "My God, my God, Why hast thou forsaken me? Those who put their faith and trust in the person and work of the Lord Jesus can answer and say, it was for me he was forsaken. It was for me, it was for my sins that the Lord Jesus suffered and died and was forsaken of God. And then he uttered a loud cry and expired. I cannot bring it home to you forcibly enough, the greatness of these 3 hours when the Lord Jesus resolved once and for all the sin question. He who knew not sin, Peter says, was made sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What an amazing matter that God should so take account of our need as guilty, lost, ruined sinners that he should send his son to suffer and die here on that account. I cannot speak too highly or too greatly of my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. What good news this is. Good news for sinners. Good news for you and me. Instead of having to meet God on account of my sins, instead of having to spend an eternity banished from the presence of God in eternal flames of punishment, I can now look forward to an eternity with Christ in the Father's presence. I can know God as my Father, know my sins forgiven, have and enjoy and rely on the gift of the Holy Spirit. All these things are possible because Jesus died. He suffered and died and went into death and was buried. Read in the Gospels how he was buried. But we also read that he was raised again, raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so that we have a Saviour. We preach Christ Jesus and him crucified, but he's no longer in death. The Lord Jesus, the one who bore my sins in his own body on the tree, is now risen and living and ascended at the right hand of God. What glorious news this is. This is truly glad tidings, good news. The angel, in speaking to the shepherds in Bethlehem when Christ was born, said, glad tidings of great joy. And that was when a Saviour was born into the world. But it's even greater now that the Saviour that was born into the world went into death and came forth triumphant and has broken forever the power of Satan and the power of death. So that we have to present to you, for your acceptance and belief, a Saviour who is Jesus Christ the Lord, the Son of God. I trust you believe this. I trust you feel the need of a Saviour. I trust you accept him as your Saviour. And know what it is to have your sins forgiven and to enjoy the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. This can be your portion today. Now I want to read in Mark 15 about a man who was affected by this unique death. And that is, he was a centurion. And the centurion who stood at by over against him, that's Jesus, when he saw that he expired, having thus cried out, said, truly, this man was Son of God. Here was a Roman centurion. And if you notice in Scripture, I believe all the Roman centurions that are recorded in Scripture were good men. And this one really believed that Jesus was the Son of God. It wasn't an ordinary death. He witnessed a man dying, but dying in power. He uttered a loud cry and expired. And this centurion realized that this was the Son of God. What a statement to make. Now, not only did he realize this, but if we turn now to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, we read of another man who preached that Jesus is the Son of God. Acts chapter 9 and verse 18. it starts, this was Saul's conversion. He was on the way to Damascus to persecute and kill as many Christians as he could. He was intent on blotting out the name of Christ. And of course, he couldn't. The Lord Jesus spoke to him from heaven. And when he heard the Lord's voice, he saw a bright light, and he heard the Lord speaking to him. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Well, there was a man who, a Jew, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, an upright man, but he hated Christians. He hated the name of Jesus. But God, or the Lord Jesus, spoke to him from heaven, and it turned him around. This is what conversion's all about. It's about turning you around. From being on a course of self-will and sin, from being on a course that will lead to death and judgment, Saul became Paul and preached Jesus, that he is the Son of God. That was the effect of the Lord speaking to Paul, to Saul of Tarsus. He was able straightway, having been baptized, having had food, having received the gift of the Holy Spirit, he preached in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. There he was, a day or so earlier, persecuting Christians, and now he's acknowledging that Jesus was and is Son of God. Have you come to that too? I have. I've come to see that Jesus is the Christ, that is the Messiah. But more than that, he's Son of God. Peter acknowledged this during the life of the Lord Jesus. He said, "Truly, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." There he had spent some time with the Lord Jesus. And it was revealed to him by God that Jesus was the Son of the living God. Wonderful thing if persons today come to believe and realize and believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. He's coming again. You know, the Lord Jesus has gone into heaven. And there is a time appointed when he's coming again for those who belong to him. In the meantime, he's given us his Holy Spirit, one who is to be in us and with us. Every believer receives the gift of the Holy Spirit so that they may be able to tread a pathway, walk in a way that is pleasing to their Lord and Saviour, and to be strengthened with him. We praise and worship in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the way to praise and worship God. God has saved us from our sins through the person and work of the Lord Jesus, so that we might draw near to him and praise him and spend our lives in his service. Are you with those who do this? Do you gather with them happily? Because that is the outcome, that is what is pleasing to our Lord and Saviour, to see his own gathering together. Now, at the moment, we're hindered in many ways from achieving this, but the Lord has given us, through the instrumentation of computers, a way of enjoying a measure of fellowship. It's not the same, but the Lord has given this to us so that we may be encouraged and be cheered, even by a gospel like this. And we trust and pray that you and many others will come to know this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. May you do so now. Put your faith and trust to him and believe in him and come to know him as your Saviour and Lord and be blessed in this wonderful way. May it be your portion for his name's sake.